At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Outreach workers spent 6 days in January counting the number of 12 to 24-year-olds in Dallas County who don't have a stable place to live. It was part of the first-ever homeless youth survey in the county. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, advocates hope the results will spark solutions.
In years past, the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance and its partners set up outposts hoping homeless youth would come to them. This year, they decided that process needed to be reversed. So, over 6 days scouring Dallas streets, outreach workers ultimately found 179 people. Carrie Stitt is the Chief Partner Relations Officer at Promise House, a nonprofit that helps at-risk youth. Its outreach teams were at the helm of the youth count. Stitt says it's hard to find young people experiencing homelessness because they don't always look homeless, and they don't always know they are homeless.
A lot of times you're going to see the adult homeless on the streets, maybe living in encampments, and our kids still have friends that may have homes, and so they'll double up with them, or they may be living with another family member. So you don't see them on the streets, but that's housing instability.
Stitt says the survey found clear disparities. Of the young people interviewed, about 40% were between 15 and 20 years old. More than half were female, and nearly 60% were African American. A quarter of those living on the streets identified as part of the LGBT community, and a significant number of homeless youth had also come into contact with the juvenile justice system. Stitt says the numbers were shocking, especially compared to the findings from the adult homeless point-in-time count, which also happened in January.
It mirrors a lot of the same stuff that we see. And so if we're not addressing youth homelessness, then we're not also addressing adult homelessness. We're not addressing homelessness at all, because these kids become then the adult homeless population.
Which is why policy solutions are a critical part of the youth count called See Us Now. Homeless youth say they need everyday items like clothing, bus passes, food, and hygiene supplies. And in order to find housing and get jobs, they also need state IDs, their birth certificates, and Social Security cards. Those taking part in the See Us Now survey said their highest priority is affordable housing, then a higher minimum wage. Since many were kicked out by their parents or their guardians, homeless youth say they want them to be held accountable for negligence or abandonment. They also want more shelters where they can feel safe. That's something Dallas City Councilmember Adam Medrano is pushing for.
The money's there. There's $20 million that the City of Dallas residents passed for homelessness. So now we just need the city to allocate about $4 million to building a shelter for our LGBT homeless youth, a place where they can be safe and have resources to get them back on their feet and out of the homeless cycle. And that's why I'm committed to making sure that the City of Dallas, we put our money where our mouth is. You know, we want to do this.
There are a lot of things in the survey that homeless youth say they need in order to move out of homelessness. But there are a few things they say they already have: ambition, resilience, persistence, and a belief in themselves. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Even if you've never written into one, chances are you've been just curious enough to read an advice column. Jessica Weisberg has a new book that chronicles America's centuries-long history of advice columns. Today on Thinks, she talked with Chris Boyd about why we obsess over anonymous requests for guidance.
The pleasure of reading advice columns is partly schadenfreude. Like, it's fun to see.
She's a mess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like it's a melodrama on the page, and there's something really raw about it. But I also think the less cynical version of that is it also draws people together and makes people realize that their problems aren't singular, and that there's this sort of anonymous space that Americans have created for themselves over many centuries to allow us to see what people are really going through. But I also think what's true about Americans is that we are strivers. The American dream is still alive in many of our imaginations. And it's very compelling to think that there's someone out there who has a bit of guidance, and with a bit of a boost, anything is possible.
Jessica Weisberg is the author of Asking for a Friend. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Fort Worth Opera opens its new season next week with an unusual landmark work. Maria de Buenos Aires is a surreal tango opera from 1968, full of demons and lost souls. In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks reports the opera also has an unusual casting choice. TV talk show host Gabi Natale.
Fort Worth Opera is rehearsing Maria de Buenos Aires in the basement community room of La Gran Plaza.
That's the sprawling Latino-themed mall in South Fort Worth. The opera is by legendary tango composer Astor Piazzolla. It's a hallucination of an opera about a prostitute seduced by the tango. Maria will die, then give birth, she'll go to hell, which is Buenos Aires at night, and she'll be led around by a duende, a goblin. A goblin played by Gabby Natale.
I didn't look for this opportunity, it came my way, but sometimes I plan and life surprises me.
Natale's presence here is surprising because she's the host of Super Latina, her syndicated talk show, the winner of 3 daytime Emmys for Spanish language programs. The goblin Natale plays is a speaking role, so it won't test her singing chops. But it's the first time the 39-year-old has acted, the first time she's performed in an opera. Her public appearances are more often at conferences, delivering inspirational talks.
We need to step out of our comfort zones because it's part of that philosophy of not setting your own limits.
Natale was chosen because the director, John de los Santos, decided the goblin in this unconventional opera should be non-traditional. The duende appears as a bishop, a woman, a drunken poet. De los Santos thought this time the goblin should be a woman, one with fire, he says. Natale was suggested, and De Los Santos decided, talking over the phone with her, she'd be perfect.
Because I think she will stop at nothing to achieve her goals. You give her a target, and she is going to hit it right in the center if she sets her mind to it. And so she has this drive and insuppressibility.
Besides,
this is her heritage. So much of it is ringing true to her.
Natale grew up in Argentina, in the town La Plata, but then moved to the big city, Buenos Aires.
I used to live in an avenue called Avenida Corrientes. It's famous because of the bookstores and theaters. And so when you walk in Avenida Corrientes, many times what you hear is tango. And so it's the soundtrack of many years of my life. I love tango.
In Buenos Aires, Natale earned a master's in journalism in 2001, just when the Argentine economy fell apart. She took a lowly job handing out flyers. But that led to work in PR in Washington, and that led to journalism with Univision in Mexico and West Texas. This is where Natalia's success story really begins. She and her husband, Andre Suarez, started producing their own show, Super Latina, for a single TV station in Midland, Odessa. Their studio, a carpet warehouse.
We started in this carpet warehouse, and I painted the set with my own hands, and all my professional stories, knocking on doors, being told no, knocking again and again. But that's why we named it Super Latina, because it appeals to our inner superhero, the best part of us. And that's what we wanted to instill in people.
Eventually, Natalia and her husband moved their operations to North Texas. But it took 7 years to get the struggling show syndicated nationally, often by going around and selling it station by station. Now Natale even has a best-selling book, El Virtuoso Circulo, The Virtuous Circle, a collection of interviews.
With headliners, fascinating people, and always it's their road to success.
Natale herself is not just the star in all this. She's the show's producer. She and her husband also own the marketing company that promotes the show. And she's the product. To a growing Latina market, Natale's success offers an aspirational model of persistence, hard work, and staying open to whatever life offers.
I think it's so important because our possibilities expand so much when we do that.
Staying open to life's possibilities, like playing a goblin in a tango opera. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Maria de Buenos Aires runs April 27th through May 5th at Bass Performance Hall. See a video of Gabby Natale rehearsing at artandseek.org. And for the evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 51 later tonight at 6:30. This is KERA News.